Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona with OnZone, and we're doing lesson six, walkthrough of the Homeric Greek book by Clyde Farr. The book is from 1920, so it's in the public domain. There's a PDF to download a copy of the book in the description of the video, or you can purchase a nicer, newer one on Amazon. The updated edition's a little more user-friendly, but these videos will work for both because nothing has substantially changed in the book since 1920. All right, so far we worked in the first declension feminine nouns. Mm-hmm. So we saw nouns like vouli, thea, thalassa, mm-hmm. and so those are all feminine nouns and they're all first declension. So now we're getting into the second declension. So it's a different paradigm. And over here, we've got a masculine noun as an example, and here we've got a neuter noun. So everything that we saw in the first declension so far has been feminine.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now we're moving into some masculine nouns and some feminine nouns. Now, just a quick note about this, if people are new to language learning, because we don't really have this concept in English, but in other languages, when things are masculine or feminine or neuter, that's just a grammatical term. It doesn't really have to do with how manly they are or something like that. For example, in Spanish, the word for dress, vestido, is masculine, but it's a dress, okay? So it really has nothing to do with how manly or feminine or neuter. It's just a grammatical term, okay? So these nouns are masculine. This is the neuter pattern. Okay, so this right here, thymos, is what we're going to use as our paradigm. Paradigma is the Greek word for example, okay? That's where we get our English word paradigm. We're using modern pronunciation. So thymos is a really common word that you see a million times in Homeric Greek. It means like spirit or heart.
Okay.
Okay? So thymos is the nominative. Then we've got thymou, and this is what you're probably familiar with from classical Greek or New Testament Greek.
Exactly, yeah.
This one, though, this thymio, is very common in Homeric Greek. So you need to learn this other option as well because you are going to run into it, okay? And then we've got thymo, that's the dative, thymon, accusative, thyme, vocative. Now, remember, in the first declension, the vocative and the nominative were the same.
All right.
Now we actually have a different vocative. Uh-huh. So this would be kind of like where the guy in the Bible, obviously the Bible uses a different word for spirit, but remember he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. So if you're talking to your soul, you know, that's what you're going to use right there. Thyme, there we go. Of course, it's not really soul. This is like spirit or heart, but you know, whatever. And then we've got some dual forms here, thymo and thymein. And remember, the dual forms are only in Homeric Greek. Later Greek is not going to have these. The New Testament's not going to have these. And then our plural forms, thymi, thymon, thymisi, and thymus. This can also just be thymis without the yoda on the end.
Okay,
so you could probably see already some similarities with the first declension just to kind of help you remember things. First of all, just like in the first declension, we have these circumflexes on the genitives and the datives, right? Everything else is an acute, but then right here we have a circumflex, and then on the genitive and dative, genitive and dative, genitive and, so all the genitives and datives have circumflexes. Everything else has an acute.
Yeah.
So that's pretty similar to the first declension, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
So some other things that are similar with the first declension are yoda subscript in the dative. In the first declension, only the dative singular had that yoda subscript. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. Mm-hmm. So when you see a yoda subscript, you know, that's like a really good telltale sign for the dative.
Yep.
You run into that a lot. And then the ni ending right here, thymon, that's like vulin or theon or thalasson, right? So that's familiar. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, and then this one's very similar too, isn't it? Because remember, we had theaon, thalassaon, vulaon. Here we just have thymon. And that's the same as classical or New Testament Greek. Uh-huh. So yeah, there's a lot of similarities. And so remember in the first declension, this one was like Vulis with a Yoda subscript and an S. Here it's an Omicron and a full Yoda. But there are really a lot of connections that hopefully you can form here mentally. Now, when we move over to the neuter, this right here, ergon, means work, okay? Mm-hmm. And we have an English word, ergonomic, that comes from this. So ergon means work. And the difference between this and this, because these are very similar, but here's the big difference, okay? The big difference is that over here, the nominative and the accusative and the vocative are all the same. They're all this own ending in the singular and the ah ending in the plural. So ergon can either be nominative, vocative, or accusative. And then same thing with the plural. Erga can either be nominative, vocative, or accusative. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, remember, with nouns and adjectives, the accents are persistent. They want to stay where they started. So here, it persists on the second syllable, the last syllable, right? So we have thymos, thymu, thymo, thymon, thyme, thymo, thymine, thymi, thymon, thymisi, thymus. And then over here, it starts out on the first syllable just because this particular word is like that, ergon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you could have other masculine or neuter words where the accent's in different places.
Yeah.
So it always just persists where it starts. It wants to. So we got ergon, ergu, ergo, ergon, ergo, ergin, erga, ergon, ergis, erga, right? Mm-hmm. So it ends up just staying on that first epsilon. So again, these are the ones that you really want to pay attention to with the neuter as being different, okay? Because what you'll notice is that other than these nominative, accusative, vocative forms that are different, notice the same here. We've got thymu and we've got ergu.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got thymo, ergo. Mm-hmm. See, that's the same?
Yeah.
And then we go to the dual forms, thymo, ergo. Thymin, ergin, right? So those are the same. And then down here, we got thymon, ergon, thymisi, ergisi. Mm-hmm. Because this could just as well be a sigma and a iota.
Okay.
You know, because that's interchangeable.
Yep.
So again, you just have to memorize this. You just have to learn these and just really study the masculine is what I would recommend. Just study the masculine, get this down really well, and then just think about these two forms that are different. Mm. Ergon and erga. That's it. And once you think about these two differences, this one's actually easier because the nominative and the accusative are the same.
So
it's less forms to learn. So really, you only have to learn two new forms over here. If you get this one down, you kind of have them both down.
That's cool.
Mm. Okay. Now, the only other thing that this chapter goes over is a concept called elision. And elision is this phenomenon where basically letters will drop out and you'll get an apostrophe. Mm. Sort of like we have in English contractions, where instead of saying do not, we'll contract that to like don't or something like that. So I don't really think it makes much sense to talk about elision right now. I think we should just talk about it when it actually comes up.
Okay.
So when we run into it, we'll talk about it. But elision is just so easy. All it is just the last letter of a word dropping off and getting replaced by an apostrophe. Mm. And then you have to kind of figure out what that letter was. Mm. But it's kind of a nothing burger, in my opinion. So let's just deal with it as we come to it. So let's just take our knowledge here of these two paradigms and let's do our Greek to English exercises.
Yep.
All right, I knew I was forgetting something. I forgot we want to talk about adjectives to go with these new paradigms. Because so far, you know, for example, we talked about like kali and kaki and things like that, right? So this is what we saw in the first declension. Well, these adjectives are also going to follow these patterns if they modify a masculine. Because this right here, this adjective, that's going to be lining up with the first declension feminines like vuli kali or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thea kali or thalassa kali, right? So what if we want to talk about like a good spirit, right? then what we're going to have to do is a thymos kalos, right? So basically, this is going to end up following this same pattern. Mm-hmm. So we're going to end up with thymu kalu, thymo kalo, right? They're all going to basically get declined the same way as these noun counterparts. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Definitely.
So basically, yeah, it's going to follow a similar pattern for the adjectives. So, you know, we could go down this whole list and write these out, but that's what it's going to be. Thymon, kalon, thyme, kale, and so on and so forth. Because these two paradigms right here also work for, like, kakos, mm-hmm. or let's say philos. If we wanted to say, like, a beloved spirit or a dear spirit, then it would be thymos, philos, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'd have that. So basically, we could go down the list with those. We could go down the list with these, okay? And again, it's going to persist. So like kalos, it wants to persist on the second syllable, whereas philos, the accent persists on the first syllable. So like right here, okay, let's say we wanted to talk about a good work.
Yeah.
Ergon.
Kalon.
But not kalon, it would be ergon.
Oh, it's kalos. Kalon. Kalon.
Kalon. Because we want the accent to persist on the second syllable, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be like ergon kalon, right? Ergu kalu. Kalu. And then, so then over here, we would do
the circumflex
because of the fact that it's on that last syllable, right? And then ergo kalo, right? So it's going to be like that because of that. And then with philos, it persists on the first syllable, right? So it would be, if it was like a beloved work, right? Then it'd be like, and actually it seems like that would probably want to be because a circumflex can't go over a short syllable, so it'd be like a ergon philon or something, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
So one thing I wanted to ask is, this ergu, does it also have the other form, ergio?
Yes, it does. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't write it in, but it does have that alternate form as well.
Ergio.
So you're definitely going to see that form as well with the neuters. So basically, the moral of the story is that this same paradigm for these nouns and these neuter nouns and masculines, there are going to be a bunch of adjectives that follow these same patterns. Mm-hmm. And kalos is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? Kali, kalos, kalon. Fili, philos, philon. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, the adjectives that we've learned so far are also going to decline like these nouns.
Yes, makes sense.
All right, now let's do the exercises. Okay. All right, so here we are, the next set of Greek to English exercises. We're in lesson 6. So, aglaa apina ferousin achei eis straton. All right, you want to translate that?
So, the Achaeans, is that right, Achaeans?
Yep, the Achaeans, which is just another word for the Greeks. Like, when you're reading the New Testament, it calls Greece sometimes Achaia.
Yeah.
That's the same word.
Oh, yeah.
So the Achaeans, yep.
The Achaeans bring or carry, like, glorious.
Yep.
So I learned this as ransoms.
Yeah, exactly, ransoms. So basically, what this is talking about is, in battle, they'll take prisoners of war. And then they will give them back to their families or give them back to the other side if they get paid a ransom. Mm-hmm. So it's like POWs getting returned, but they have to buy them back. So that's what it means to ransom them. So that's what's going on. So yeah, so basically the Greeks carry or bring glorious ransoms because the ransoms aren't like cash. They're going to be like tripods and mixing bowls and pieces of armor and weaponry. So they're metal objects. Mm-hmm. So in the ancient world, metal objects are expensive. So a lot of these ransoms are precious metals.
Yep.
So they're like shining, agla'a, like shining, glorious ransoms they bring. And where do they bring them?
Into the host.
Into the camp, camp, right? Into the, like the military encampment or into the host, like you said. Exactly. Okay. Number two. Pheromen aperisi apina ana straton acheon. And let me just say here, this is that thing we mentioned a minute ago, elision. Yep. See, had a little apostrophe. There's a missing letter here. Okay. What letter do you think is missing? Because this is going to modify this.
An alpha.
Yeah, it's probably a short alpha, right? So, okay, so what does this mean?
We bring innumerable, countless ransoms.
Yep.
Anastraton. Like, so this could mean through?
Well, so here's the thing. Yeah, yes, it can. Yeah. But here's the thing. Ana is the opposite of kata. Ana means up and kata means down. Yep. So you could translate it like they bring it up to the host of the Achaeans. Mm-hmm. But you sometimes it is through, like you said.
Okay.
Sometimes it can mean through, and so can kata also.
Yep.
But in this case, it's not really through. Probably wouldn't be appropriate, would it?
No.
But sometimes it does mean that, though. But anyway, in Homeric Greek, mm-hmm. I just saw it like today. But the thing is, here, it's more like up to. Mm. You know,
up to the camp of the Achaeans.
Exactly. Yeah. So ana is up, and then kata would be like down too, right? Okay. So number three, Theos tefhi polus acheus eloria ionisin. Of course, we're using modern pronunciation.
So God makes many Greeks pray or spoil. Like for birds.
Yeah, exactly. So this is plural. So basically, like, the god makes many Achaeans. And what does he make? This is like a double accusative here, because we have, like, he makes many Achaeans, and he makes them what? He makes them...
Spoils, prey.
Spoils, or he makes them a prey. It's plural, but, yeah, you might translate in English as singular, like he makes them a prey. Or he makes them into spoils, ionisin, for the birds, or unto the birds. So this is dative. This could be like a dative of advantage, because, you know, the birds get to enjoy this booty of, you know, the dead bodies. So that's what that's kind of dative that is. Okay. All right, number four. So we got Isan Achei Kaki. Uk isan kaki kalide.
Were the Achaeans bad? They weren't bad, but good.
Yeah, they were not bad, but rather good. Okay, and then this is a tricky word right here. So let me just say this. And of course, we're assuming that you at home have already learned all the vocabulary before these lessons. Mm. So basically, you know, before you watch each lesson, it's up to you to memorize all the vocabulary, okay? Because we're assuming you at least know the vocabulary. And when you learn the vocabulary, something that might have kind of struck you as odd in the list is that this word nousos here, you know, with that ending, it seems like it'd be masculine, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks like thymos. So it has that second declension ending. Mm. But you know what that is? That's a feminine noun. Unfortunately, you know how languages are. They never cooperate. So this is a feminine noun, but it's second declension. Mm-hmm. So it follows that pattern like a masculine second declension noun. That's the pattern it's going to follow. So it's going to be, you know, nousos in the accusative. It's going to follow that whole pattern like thymos. But it's still feminine. And you're like, well, how is it feminine if it follows a masculine pattern? Because look, when it gets modified by an adjective, it gets a feminine adjective.
But then the adjective is like the normal pattern.
Exactly. Because remember, the adjectives and the nouns have to agree in gender number case. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have the same ending.
Yep.
It means this is feminine nominative singular. And kaki is feminine nominative singular. Mm. So as weird as that seems, that's why that is that way. Hmm. So Nousos kaki oleki laon kalon. What's that?
A bad pestilence destroys the good people.
Yep. So like an evil disease kills the good people, or the noble people, or whatever. All right, and then we've got Achei pebusin apina miri is patrin. Here we have another elision, and this is modifying this. So again, the missing letter is
alpha.
It's an alpha. Yeah. Okay. So what's that say?
The Achaeans sent like very many thousands of ransoms into the fatherland.
Yeah, this can mean sometimes this can like technically mean 10,000s, mm-hmm. but often it's just like a lot. Mm-hmm. It just means a lot. So yeah, like you said, they send many ransoms to the fatherland. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then number 7, Theos veni estraton oleki de laon acheon.
God goes into the camp and destroys the people of the Achaeans.
Yep. So typically, instead of translating this God, we'd probably translate it as like the God or a God, because we're talking about false gods. We're talking about pagan gods here. Exactly. This is not the Bible that we're reading. This is Homeric Greek. Yep. So these are all pagan false gods. So I would either say a God or the God, because they're polytheistic. They don't believe in one single God, right? Mm-hmm. So you could say like a God goes to the host and he kills the people of the Achaeans. Yeah. All right, so number 8, Tis atimazi theus kalus.
Who dishonors or insults theus kalus? the good gods.
Yeah, so like who dishonors the good gods or who insults the good gods? I do, because they're actually bad gods, because they're pagan false gods. Okay, number 9. Kaki lai atimazusi theus patris. Again, that's me and you.
So, like evil people insult the gods of the fatherland.
Yeah, exactly right. Evil people dishonor the gods of the fatherland. And then theos pebi nuson kakin ana straton acheon ugar teliusi vulin theon patris.
The God sends an evil disease like up to the camp of the Achaeans for they don't accomplish the will of the gods of the fatherland.
Yep, exactly right. And this one, probably the up through translation would probably be appropriate.
Oh, okay, because it's a disease.
Because it's like passing through the camp.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting spread. It's contagious. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's move to the other board for 11 through 15. All right, so number 11 here. Veni epi thalasan vinin ketefki piras polas anastraton acheon. Okay, so what is that?
There goes.
Well, let's just give it a subject, either he, she, or it. You want to just say like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He goes to the sea, to the terrible sea, and makes like many fires.
Yeah.
Lights many fires. Up through the camp of the Achaeans.
Assuming you copied everything correctly, you know, he goes, you know, upon or up to the terrible sea, and he makes many funeral pyres up through the camp of the Achaeans. And then number 12, Echusin Aperisi apina acheon enistrato. So this is.
They have.
They have.
Innumerable ransoms.
And what's the missing letter from the elision here?
It's again alpha.
It's an alpha, yeah.
Countless ransoms of the Achaeans.
Yep.
In the host, in the camp.
Yep, exactly. All right, and then so they have countless ransoms of the Achaeans in the host or in the camp. And then Vuli Stratu Uch Andani Thimotheu.
The will or the plan of the host does not please the soul or the spirit or the heart of the god.
Yeah, that's fine. So yep, exactly. So basically the army's plan does not please the spirit of the god. And then right here we got Laos Kilis Philos in Psyche Theas Thalassis.
The people of Scylla was beloved or dear to the soul of the goddess of the sea.
Yep, you got it. And then lastly here, Uk Aidomen Kalas Vulas Theon Strato Ugar Andani Achaeisi Thimo.
We don't sing. The good plans or counsels of the gods to the army.
Yep, to the army, yep, exactly.
For it doesn't please the heart of the Achaeans.
Yep, you got it. So we don't sing the good counsels of the gods to the host or to the army or to the encampment, for it does not please the Achaeans. It does not please the Achaeans with respect to their spirit. You know what I mean? Because this is dative, right?
Yep.
So like it isn't pleasing to the Achaeans with respect to their spirit. Or you could look at it as, for it does not please the spirit of the Achaeans. Mm. Because sometimes a dative can actually be a dative of possession. Mm. Like you're going to run into that a lot, actually. So, you know, because we want possession to be genitive. Am I right? Mm. But in Homeric Greek, there's going to be a lot of times when possession gets expressed with a dative.
Okay.
So you're going to see that a lot.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of times, you know. So basically, that's something to think about. Okay. But you could say here, what's more likely here would be like, you know, for it does not please the Achaeans in their spirit.
Yeah. And
specifically, it doesn't please them with respect to their spirit or in their spirit or in their heart. It doesn't please the Achaeans in their heart. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the English into Greek sentences. All right, so now we're going to do the sentences from English into Greek. There's no answer key. We're just doing this on the fly, off the top of our heads. So if we make any mistakes, let us know in the comments. Hopefully we'll also catch each other's mistakes. But here we go. All right, so I'm going to give you sentence number one. The terrible roar of the sea is pleasing to the goddess in her soul. So the terrible roar of the sea is pleasing to the goddess in her soul. Just let me know if you need me to repeat it. And then I'm going to be working on number two. We bring much splendid ransom to the army of the Achaeans.
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. So the terrible roar of the sea is pleasing to the goddess in her soul.
Okay.
And you don't have to do the her. The her is in parentheses. So the terrible roar of the sea is pleasing to the goddess in the soul. And then I'm working on, we bring much splendid, well, I won't say it out loud again for your sake, but we bring much splendid ransoms to the army of the Achaeans.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, number three. The god does not destroy the host of the Achaeans. And then there's more to the sentence.
Okay.
So I'm just going to give you that first part because it's a long sentence. Does not destroy the host of the Achaeans. Okay. And then I'm going to work on number four, which is the evil plague makes countless Achaeans booty for many birds. So let's see, the evil plague.
What's number three again?
Number three, okay, so the god does not destroy the host of the Achaeans, for they do not dishonor the gods of the fatherland.
Okay.
For they do not dishonor the gods of the fatherland. Okay, so. You ready for the next one? All right, number five. The people of the Achaeans send countless shining ransoms, and then I can give you the rest later. So the people of the Achaeans send countless shining ransoms. Okay, the evil plague makes countless Achaeans booty for many birds. Number six. Okay, I'm gonna work on number six, which is the Achaeans go to the sea and sing, but the noise is not pleasing to the goddess in her soul. Okay, you need to repeat. Number five, the people of the Achaeans send countless shining ransoms. And then there will be more.
So the people of the Achaeans sent countless shiny ransoms.
The people of the Achaeans send countless shining ransoms to the goddess of the sea in Scylla.
Okay.
And then I'm going to work on number 7. The plague destroys the people, for they dishonor the god of Chrysa.
To the goddess of the sea, in Scylla?
To the goddess of the sea in Scylla. Okay. You done? You want to maybe grab the eraser and clean that mess up a little bit? This messy stuff? All right. I think I got it. All right, let's start going over these. Okay, so number 1, the terrible roar of the sea is pleasing to the goddess and her soul. So the terrible roar, klangi the ni, of the sea, thalassi. That's the wrong place for the accent. Yeah. Thalassis is pleasing to the goddess and her soul. Anani, thea. Mo. Yep, very good. Perfect. Yeah, I did for the soul, I did psihi, but you're totally good to do thimo, though.
Yeah.
Because it's used, this could mean soul, spirit, heart, same exact thing. And that's probably what they were looking for, because that's what we saw in the Greek to English exercise. So that's good to go. All right, number 2, we bring much splendid ransoms to the army of the Achaeans. So Pheromen, Apina, Aglaa Kepola, so I use the Hendiadys,
yes,
which is pretty common, into the camp of the Achaeans. Could have also done Anastraton Achaeon. Right? Do you see any problems?
No.
Let me know if you see any
issues. Oh, just one breathing log. Well, that's
it. Yep. Very good. So it should be a smooth, right? Yep. Here we go. Okay. Number 3. So this is, we're looking for... the god does not destroy the host of the Achaeans. Theos uk oleki straton acheon, right? But the accent's on the own. Circumflex. Acheon. For they do not dishonor the gods of the fatherland. So ugar atimazusi theus patris. Yeah, looks good, right? Okay, and then let's go number 4. The evil plague makes countless Achaeans booty for many birds. So the evil plague, nuson kaki, right? Oh, I messed up though, because that should be...
Nusos.
Yeah, I accidentally used a, like it was a accusative or a neuter or something, yeah. So it's nusos, so that was my bad. So nusos kaki... So the evil plague makes countless aperisus. I don't think I spelled that right, though. Did I?
I think so, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it's spelled wrong. But let's come back to it. Okay. Okay, so countless Greeks or Achaeans spoils Heloria... Ionisi for many birds. Ionisi polisi?
Ionisi polisi. Yeah.
Looks good?
Too many polisi. Yeah. I adjust the breathing. Okay.
All right. So, number 5. The people of the Achaeans send countless shining ransoms to the goddess of the sea in Scylla. So the people of the Achaeans, Lai Acheon. Here, let's just erase that. Okay. Pebusin, where's our accent? People of the Achaeans sent countless shining ransoms. So what are the ransoms? The apina, there's no S, no sigma. So apina, so agla a, and then that's going to be an alpha. Or are you just getting all fancy using elision now? Okay.
But so this is, shouldn't it be accusative?
It is accusative. Because remember that apina is neuter. In the neuter, the accusative and the nominative plural are the same. And the accusative and nominative singular are the same. So this could be nominative or accusative, apina.
So what is singular of apina?
There isn't one. It's one where in the vocab list, it just gives it as plural only. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay.
It's something that only appears in the plural. Mm. So, okay, so. Where were we? What are we on? Number 5. People of the Achaeans send countless shining ransoms to the goddess of the sea in Scylla, Thea Thalassis, right? So we should have the accent there. Thalassis en Kili again.
Mm, yeah.
Accent goes there. You just have to remember that from the vocab because it's persistent accent. Okay. Number 6. Is what are we looking for? The Achaeans go to the sea and sing. Achei venusi es thalassan ke aidusi. But the noise is not pleasing to the goddess and her soul. Klangigar. Did it say but or for? Whoops. But the noise. I put for. So that is a mistake. So that should be four, right? Mm-hmm. But the noise, uk andani, is not pleasing thea psihi in her soul. Or I could have put thea thimo, like that. Okay, and then number 7. The plague destroys the people, for they dishonor the god of Chrysa. Nuson oleki laon atimazosigar, that's four, yep. They dishonor the god of Chrysi, Theon Chrysis.
Yes.
Everything look okay?
Shouldn't it be Nusos?
Ah, why do I keep doing that? What is wrong with me? Okay, so I made the same mistake twice. Okay, so this is the word I think is spelled wrong because I believe that there's supposed to be a Yoda in there. Mm-hmm. I think it's Aparisius.
Yeah, that seems right. Right.
But then because that extra syllable, we're going to have to move everything that way because ooh is long. Mm-hmm. So Aparisius is what we would need. And then over here with this right here, because we have Aparisia, we have the alpha ending. Here we have the ooh ending, but see, I need the Yoda to match. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah. So,
and this is short. If the alpha were here, it would be short. Mm-hmm. And so you'd be fine with your accent there. That's where it wants to persist, Aparisios. But here, because of that long ooh, it's going to have to migrate. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you see?
So, Laos is singular, right?
Yes.
But could you still use, like, the plural verb, because it's
not, you wouldn't use it if this were the subject of the verb, you wouldn't.
Okay.
But because this is a new clause, like we have a comma and then we're starting a new clause, then this is the subject of they.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to say the people for the people dishonor, then we would say atimazi gar. And we would use singular. Mm-hmm. If the subject were Laos, we would have to use singular. Yep. So to answer your question, Laos is definitely going to take a singular verb. Mm-hmm. The reason I went with the plural here, though, is just because I'm starting a new clause.
Got us.
And the subject of my clause is just they.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They. because obviously Laos is a single is a singular word, but it's referring to a group of people.
Yeah.
So that's why you can do plural down here. But if this were the subject, it would have to be singular. Mm-hmm. So everything else good? And there
yep.
is no number 8.
So. Okay.
All right, very good. We will see you next time in lesson number 7.